Christmas. The Today Show says that today is December 25th, 1993. It is day 907 of my captivity. It is Christmas Day. I am alone. I am mostly always alone. No one to talk to, no one to hug me unless Philip comes in. He gives me hugs sometimes and makes me feel loved. But am I really? Will I always feel this alone? I try not to dwell on the things I don't have. Philip thanks me for helping him with this problem. He said he is reading the Bible now and God is helping him too. I hate the sex so much, but at least it's not as bad as last year. Philip has made the runs a lot shorter and he hasn't been taking any drugs in between. He says he's trying to quit. The last run was a couple of weeks ago. Sometimes he comes in for a quick masturbation, but at least he doesn't always stick it in me. He says he saves it now for the runs. I hate drugs. I wish he wouldn't take them. I think they turn him into another person. He seems nice the rest of the time. That's how I get through the sex. I just tell myself it will be over and he will come back and be the nice person I think he can be. I just have to get past feeling the pain. He seems to have an opinion on everything, especially religion. Ever since he came back from his stay at the prison, he has been reading the Bible a lot. He says the mysteries of the Bible are becoming clear to him. He doesn't seem really religious to me. The runs have been really scary lately, but I'm getting used to them. At least I know what to expect. He likes to follow a routine mostly. He's been acting strange lately, though. He thinks he hears voices from the TV, even when it's muted. He asks me if I can hear it too, and I say I don't hear anything. But sometimes I'm afraid to disagree with him. He bought this device called Bionic Ears, and he puts it to the wall and puts on headphones and listens to the wall for hours. On the one hand, it's great because I don't have to jack him off or anything. But it's weird too. What does he hear? He says he hears conversations and people's voices. I don't pay much attention. It gives me the opportunity to get some rest. Not much is going on for Christmas today. Nancy said she would bring me a plate of Christmas dinner that Philip's mom makes. She and Philip said they would have eaten back here with me, but his mother would be alone, so they would come in later tonight. I wonder what my mom is doing today. They are probably having a nice family dinner together. I hope she is happy. I'm sure Carl is a lot happier now that I'm gone. I don't think he liked me much. I got in the way a lot. I wonder if I will ever feel happy again. I pretend I'm happy a lot, just so Philip and Nancy don't feel bad. I've learned that having a good attitude around them makes them want to do more for me. So I keep my true feelings to myself. My plans for the day are: number one, watch the Today Show. Number two, play a couple hours of Super Mario Brothers. Three, take a nap. And four, hopefully by then it will be dinner time. My day, very exciting. I am so lonely. I wish I had someone to talk to. Tomorrow will probably be the same. Reflection. During these interceding months, I am moved back and forth from the studio to next door many times. I'm not sure why I was shuffled from one room to the next. I think a part of it was because he liked to have some of his friends come over and smoke weed and play music all night. I remember the music coming from the studio. It would last until the wee hours of the morning sometimes. It was so loud it was hard to sleep. I got used to hearing it and it became easier. It made me feel like he was working to improve the future, and I learned not to mind. I never saw any of the people that went in there with him. I know Nancy was in there and would have to sneak away to come over and feed me when they had company. I think it was just Philip in there, fiddling around with his sound equipment, playing by himself. I really began to think he'd be a musician one day. He had original songs that he wrote. He said he taught himself to play guitar. He said his instrument was bass, but he amazed himself how well he played the guitar and keyboard. He said he didn't really need anyone to play with him. that with the equipment he had, he could be a one-man band. Nancy wanted to play the drums. She had books on the subject, and she said the drums were hers. I could hear her practicing on them sometimes, too. During one of the times I was next door, Nancy said she was looking in the paper for another kitty for me. This time, they wanted to get me a kitten. I wasn't sure I wanted another kitty. It was so hard to give up the last kitten that I really didn't want to go through that again. But in the end, I didn't protest very much. Nancy found an ad for a 4-week-old kitten in the Penny Saver and called to inquire. Turns out the kitten had a slight cold, but I decided I really wanted this one, so they went to get her. She was the cutest thing I had ever seen. She was fluffy and white, and I named her Snowy. She was a sweet little thing. Philip didn't want her to have the run of the room, so I had to leash her to the scratching post. I would let her off of it when he wasn't around. It was hard during runs, though, because she would cry and meow so loudly wanting to get free. Philip didn't want cat hair sticking to the Vaseline that he used for masturbating and to lubricate me. Eventually, Snowy interfered and interrupted too much with his fantasy, and he got rid of her, too. At one time, I had a small tent in the room next door to the studio. They got it for me for my birthday. I know, ironic gift, right? I had my own sleeping bag, a shelf which I used for a desk, and a bookshelf. I had my own TV in there, too. When Philip would come in for sex, I would have to leave my little sanctuary. Philip was a lot longer than the tent, so it didn't work for him to come in and make me have sex. He would lay a blanket on the floor next door and make me lay there and said he would be quick if I didn't struggle. I remember laying there with unshed tears in my eyes and looking at my little tent and longing to crawl back in. They got me another cat, which I named Eclipse. I think I had her for about a month until Philip took her away too. I don't remember why. I do remember I wrote a journal about her. I would chronicle all the things she did during the day. It's one of the few things I eventually received back after the police removed evidence from the property. When I got this journal back from the police and read it, I noticed I had torn the corners of the title page. It brought back the memory and how guilty I felt for writing my name in the first place. In the torn-off corner, I had written, "This is written by J.C. Dugard," on the first page of that journal. I wrote Eclipse's journal in 1993, but already Philip's control over my life was almost absolute. I remember I was so proud that I had written this for my kitty and wanted to share it with someone. I showed it to Philip, and he saw that I had put my name in it. He preached to me for, I think, an hour about how I really didn't want to write my name, and how dangerous that could be if anyone else ever read it. I thought to myself, I never see anyone, though. But I didn't interrupt because it always ended with why he was right and I was wrong. So I tore out the corners with my name and never wrote my real name on anything again until 2009. This is the journal I wrote for my third cat, Eclipse. Written by... That's been torn out. For Eclipse, sweetie, my new baby kitten. Birthday, February 23rd, 1993. Breed, Persian. Color of coat, gray. Color of eyes, yellow-green. Favorite food, raisins. Favorite toy, anything that rolls, orange spring ball, and purple bear. This will be the life story of Eclipse, sweetie. Written by her best friend for all time, and the corner's been torn out. Monday, May 3rd, 1993. Age, 10 weeks. Height, 7 inches. Length, 18 inches. Today, I got my new kitten at 4 o'clock p.m. I am so happy that I have her. It took me all day before I chose the name Eclipse. I chose that name because when a total eclipse occurs, it becomes dark and you can't see the moon. And when Eclipse is in the dark, she too disappears. Eclipse's middle name is Sweetie because when I put my face down, she comes up and rubs against me. It is so very sweet. Friday, May 28th, 1993. Age, 13 weeks. Today I'm starting this journal for Eclipse. Since May 3rd, when I got her, I've been very happy. I've taught her many things. She comes to the sound of clicking of the tongue and the sound of her bowl ringing. She doesn't try to eat my food, but I know she wants to. Eclipse can jump very high, about 4 feet. I think she's the prettiest cat in the world. I gave her a bath, but she didn't like it. I dried her off and brushed her coat. Her coat was very shiny, like moonbeams dancing on the water at night. I gave her a friendship bracelet. She now wears it as a collar. I think we'll be very happy together. At least, I hope so. Friday, June 4th, 1993. Age, 14 weeks. Thursday the 3rd was our 1 month anniversary together. She is growing up so fast, I can't believe it. I'm trying to teach her to stay, but it's pretty hard. She knows her name, but she won't come to it. I know she's hungry if I pet her and she starts to purr. I gave her a saucer of milk. She loved it. Now I give her some as a treat. She found a way to climb to the top of my tent. She doesn't hurt it, and it is so funny. Eclipse is very special to me because she is always with me, for me to talk to. Even if she doesn't listen, I know she cares. Thursday, June 10th, 1993. Age, 15 weeks. Eclipse is helping me fall asleep faster. Before, all I did was sit around and watch TV all day. Now, I watch her all day and play with her. So by the time I go to sleep, I'm very tired, and I fall right to sleep. Last night, I started to cry, and she heard me, and she came to me and sat next to me. After that, I felt a little better. If I had one wish, it would be to understand Eclipse, and she would understand me. Friday, June 18th, 1993. Age, 16 weeks. In my last entry, I said I wish I could understand her. I suppose I can, in a way. When her tail wags, she is usually mad or frustrated, and her pupils get real big. When she's interested in something, her tail is either straight out or down. When she is happy, you can always tell. And when she's hungry, her tail is straight up and her pupils are small. Eclipse absolutely hates baths. I have a hard time giving her one, but even though she tries to get out, she has never scratched me or bit me. I'm very proud of her. I think she knows that she could hurt me. She has scratched me a couple of times in the beginning. I really think she likes me, and I have no doubt that I love her. Thursday, June 24th, 1993. Age, 17 weeks. I have nicknamed her Sweetie Pea. I'm not sure why, but it's pretty cute. When I first got Eclipse, I promised her that I would never hit her. I broke my promise because I didn't know how to make her understand me. I know the way to make a friend is to be a friend, but I had to do it for her safety and so I could keep her. Now I'm pretty sure she has learned what to do and what not to do. So again, I have made her that promise, and this time, I will not break it no matter what she does. I will always love her with all of my heart. Saturday, July 3rd, 1993. Age, 18 weeks. Eclipse and I are becoming very close. I don't think anything can break that closeness. She knows when I'm happy or sad. It's almost like she has a happy meter inside of her that lets her know what I'm feeling, and she always makes me feel better. She has a couple of green balls that she loves to play with. She bats them around for hours. Wednesday, July 7th, 1993. Age, 4 months. Eclipse is purring a lot more now. She purred before, but only when she wanted something. Now she purrs because she's happy. There is a large mirror here, and when she sees herself in it, she thinks it's another cat, and she tries to play with the image. She has a new favorite food, raisins. One day, I wanted to give her a treat, and I found some raisins. I didn't think she would like them, so I put them down to look for something else. When I came back, they were gone. She ate them. Monday, July 12, 1993. Age, 4 months. I think I've turned Eclipse into a couch potato. Sometimes, when there's something good on, or when she sees another cat on the TV, she sits in front and literally stares at it. She is growing so fast, I can't keep up with her. I miss her being a little kitten, but I'm glad we have built such a strong friendship. In the morning, after she eats, she gets extremely frisky. I have finally taught her to stay, and she does it very well. I can't wait until I can teach her other tricks. Friday, July 16th, 1993. Age, 5 months. I got Eclipse for my birthday from Phil and Nancy. They did something that no one else would do for me. They paid $200 just so I could have my own kitten. For that, I could never repay them. But one thing I know for sure, Eclipse is worth every penny. Before I got Eclipse, I had two other cats, Tigger and Snowy. I didn't have them very long. Eclipse means more to me than my own life. When she looks at me, I see love, curiosity, intelligence, but most of all, I see her love for me. Wednesday, July 21st, 1993. Age, 5 months. I miss my little baby kitten I used to hold, but now I have a half-grown kitty that I love even more. She's losing her baby teeth. She has lost 4 so far. I'm keeping 1 for sentimental value. Almost every morning, she gets really wild and she runs very fast around the room. If you gave the other runners a 75-meter head start in the 100-meter dash, Eclipse runs so fast, she probably would still win the race. Tuesday, July 27th, 1993. Age, 5 months. She loves to be scratched at the bottom of the tail and the nub of the neck. Sometimes she will start to purr. At night, when it's time to go to sleep, I lay down with my purple bear, and Eclipse comes over and paws the bear and starts to purr. When she's done with the bear, she comes over to me and lays down on my chest and puts her head right on my cheeks and falls asleep. She acts like she has royal blood from a princess. During the day, I can't really tell if she loves me or not, but at night, I can't help but know that she does love me. Thursday, August 5th, 1993. Age, 6 months. Eclipse is a great flycatcher. The only thing is, after she catches them, she eats them. One thing I know for sure is that Eclipse is a true blue cat. She's very finicky, super playful, sleeps a lot, and is very curious and smart. When there's poop in her cat box, she'll scratch and scratch until I come and get it out. And when there's cat food out of place, she'll sniff it out and find it. I really haven't had many cats before, at least not very smart ones, except for Rusty. He was the first cat I ever got, so he's pretty old right now, 13 years. Rusty was the smartest, bravest, caring cat I have ever known, until Eclipse. They have always been there when I needed them. Eclipse reminds me of him. Maybe that's why I love her so much. Reflection. Rusty was a cat that my grandma got for me when I was a baby. Rusty was around when I was growing up and living with Mom, Aunt Tina, and Grandma Ninny and Grandpa Poppy. He was an orange tabby. He was an outside cat, so when me and my mom got our first apartment together, I wasn't able to bring him with me. But luckily, we lived about 5 minutes from my grandparents' house, so I was able to visit frequently. Whenever I would visit, all I would have to do is call out his name, and he would come running to me no matter where he was in the neighborhood. I miss my Rusty kitty. When we moved to Tahoe, I never got to see him again. Shortly after that last entry in Eclipse's journal, Philip moved me back to the studio room again. He had me pack up all the things I had in my tent in boxes and said that he was going to give Eclipse to his Aunt Celia. For what reason? I don't know. He was a very paranoid man. He said his Aunt Celia absolutely adored cats and fed all the strays in her neighborhood. He said she would take very good care of Eclipse, and said if things changed in the future, maybe I could see her again one day. I never saw her again. Looking back on that, I don't really think they spent $200 on a cat. I must have really needed to believe something good about them. I learned that by being good and not complaining a lot, I received more freedoms along the way. It didn't usually matter what I needed. It was all about Philip, his needs, and what he wanted. He got rid of Eclipse while he was on a run. The run lasted for days. And when I was sent back next door, Eclipse was gone. I learned never to ask questions because the answers never made me feel any better. It seemed every argument ended up with me wrong and him right. He had all the power. I was moved back into the studio for a couple of weeks, not sure when. And then it was back next door. I have no idea what his reasoning was for moving me back and forth. I didn't ask. I just did what I was told. I don't know what happened to Eclipse. It would be 4 years before I got another cat. Learning I was pregnant. Easter Sunday, 1994. I have been moved back to the studio. Philip said that he thought he had heard someone talking about police in the neighborhood and thought I would be better protected in the semi-soundproof studio. He said I had to be extra quiet when I walked around. He removed the wall that used to separate the mixing room from the music room. Now it is one big room. I have a new pallet on the floor in the back corner. There is a partition to give me a feeling of privacy. It's Easter, and we have been spending the whole day together, Philip, Nancy, and I. Philip and Nancy have a bed in the middle of the room. It is a mattress with no box spring. We have been watching The Ten Commandments with Charlton Heston and eating a ham dinner that Philip's mother, Pat, made. They both tell me to close my eyes. When I open, I see an Easter basket. The basket is filled with candy, and it also has two little Easter bunnies, a boy and a girl. I tell them thank you and that I love it. Philip says there is something that he needs to talk to me about. He says he and Nancy have been watching me lately and noticed that I've been putting on weight and waddling instead of walking. I said, I know. I told them I did feel bigger and that I didn't realize I was walking funny. I told them my stomach was hurting a lot too. They said, we think you may be pregnant. I am stunned and scared. What was going to happen to me? What was going to happen to the baby? I knew babies were delivered in a hospital. After all, that was where my mom had delivered my little sister. I wonder how I could possibly have a baby in this place. I would probably have to give her up for adoption. How can I possibly raise a baby in this environment? I wonder if Philip is happy about this baby. I don't feel like I can ask him in front of Nancy, though, so I think I will wait to ask him later. When Nancy gets upset about something, I don't see her or she doesn't talk to me for days. A few days later, on the inside, I am still haunted by the thought of having to give up the baby. I need to talk to Philip about it soon. Philip brings China, a beautiful blonde Cocker Spaniel, to visit me. China belongs to his mother, Pat. He told me how he found her. He said he was at a gas station a few years back with his door open while he filled the car up with gas. All of a sudden, this dog jumped in. He took her home. When his mother is away from the house at work, I learn she works at a school as the head janitor. Philip brings China to see me. He knows I really love animals. China always makes me feel so much better. She lays her head on my ever-expanding, painful tummy. All my worries just seem to melt away. Laying there with China next to me and feeling the baby move and kick my ribs, I come to realize that I can never give up my baby. Giving her away was not even an option. I would figure a way out before I ever gave her away. I don't know how I would do that, but I know I wouldn't stop until I did. The connection I feel for this baby inside of me every time I feel it move is an incredible feeling. I talk to my belly and tell it stories. Every time I feel the baby kick, I feel less and less alone in this world. My body is growing every day, accommodating the baby inside of me. My ribs are being pushed out, and it's very painful. I can feel my body changing. I'm not sure how far along I am, but I'm thinking I've been pregnant for a while and just didn't show right away. That's what Philip says. He seems very happy that I'm having a baby and never brought up anything about giving it away. Reflection. I've been thinking back about what I've been writing, and I'm not so sure things went exactly the way Philip said they went. For example, it's a load of malarkey that some random dog just happened to jump into his car at the gas station. It doesn't ring true now that I think about it. I wonder how he actually got China. At the time, I had no ability to doubt him. I remember thinking, dogs don't just jump in strangers' cars. He would always talk about how much animals loved him. He had an Irish setter named Baby. He said that she had puppies, and those puppies would come running when he would make this special call. Nancy would always say how much animals really liked him, too. I never really saw it as something special, though. Animals like their owners. Even when an animal is mistreated or abused, some animals crave love and affection so much that they would do anything for that attention. Driving to a trailer. I have been moved back next door. Philip has painted this room yellow and has put up a wall to make it into two rooms. He has given me the one with no windows. One evening, before the baby was born, Philip came next door while I was watching TV. He said that something was going on. We need to leave the house. I haven't left this place since the day he took me, nearly 2 years ago. I asked what was going on, but he ignored me and said that he would make sure the baby and I were safe and that I needed to listen to him. He said that someone told him there was going to be a raid on the house and it wasn't safe here right now. He said he was going to put a blanket over me and lead me to the van. I was tired and didn't want to go. What choice did I have? He controlled everything. He said Nancy was waiting in the van for us and had everything ready. I asked if I can take anything with me, and he said no, and if everything goes right, he will be bringing me home soon. I get up and he puts the blanket over me. I'm really getting scared. What if something happens to him? What would I do? I feel like I can't catch my breath. I must breathe in and out slowly and tell myself everything will be fine. He leads me out to the van, and I climb in the back, and before I can ask where he wants me to sit, he says for me to crawl under the back seat, and he was going to put some boxes in front of the seat. Oh my God, that's ridiculous, I think to myself. Can't I just sit over there in the corner? He says that would be dangerous. Dangerous to who? But I don't argue. I just crawl under the seat. It's kind of hard because my belly is dragging on the floor, making it very difficult. I'm afraid I might hurt the baby. I wiggle around and try to find a comfortable position. I finally settle on half on my side and forward a little, because the seat is kind of low. Not much wiggle room. I am so uncomfortable. I want to be in my own bed. I hear the van start and back out of the driveway. I wonder where we are heading. Philip thinks people can hear him when he talks, so he told me earlier that whenever he addressed me, it would sound like he was talking to Nancy. He doesn't want anyone to think there was another person in the van. The driving seems endless. How long have we been driving? What time is it? When we left, it was just getting dark. But now it's completely dark, especially under the seat. I must have fallen asleep, for when I wake, the van has stopped. He helps me to get out. He has to pull me out a bit, because I am so stiff from being in the same position for so long. What a relief it is to be out from under the seat. It's still dark out. We are standing in front of a house trailer. I keep my head down as we go in. The steps are really steep. There is a couch in the living room. He says I can sit there. I sit, and he and Nancy check out the rest of the place. He comes back and asks if I need anything. I ask where we are, and he says this trailer used to belong to a friend named Virginia. She died and left it to him. I say I really need to use the bathroom. My bladder can't hold much since I've been pregnant. I follow him to an actual bathroom. What joy! I haven't used an actual flushing toilet in so long. And a running sink with water to wash my hands? I come out and he says I should go back to the couch. I want to explore. Explore an actual house. It's been so long. I can see a kitchen and there are bedrooms in the back. But I go sit on the couch. I ask for some water and Nancy gets it for me. Philip says that we are going to stay the night here because the house isn't safe. I wonder what's going on in the house. Are there people in the back going through my stuff? I wonder what's going on. Philip locks the front door and says I can sleep on the couch, and he and Nancy will be in the back bedroom. It takes a while to fall asleep with all the questions in my head, but I must have eventually, because when I wake, it is morning and Philip and Nancy are talking in the kitchen. They must have been waiting for me to get up. When I do, they say they are going to leave me here for a few hours so they can check out the house and get some food for me. He says I can get up to go to the bathroom, but it would be much better for me to just stay on the couch and sleep. He told me that everything would be okay and for me not to be scared because he would come back. I was so scared he wouldn't return for me and just leave me here forever by myself. What would I do all by myself and pregnant? I start to cry. I tell him I don't want to stay alone, that I'm scared something would happen. He continued to say he had to go and make sure the house was okay and he and Nancy would be back with something good to eat. So he and Nancy left and I heard the click of the lock. I tried to fall asleep, but sleep would not come. I finally got up to go to the bathroom. I thought to myself, since I'm up, I might as well check out the rest of the place. I know he told me not to, but what harm could a little peek make? I tiptoed down the hall and think to myself, what if he finds out? He knows so many things. What if he knows I looked around? Curiosity has gotten the better of me. The first room, all the way down the hall, is a pretty good size, but all that it contains is a mattress on the floor. There's another room across from the bathroom. It looks like a screened-in porch. It would be so nice to have this as a room for me and the baby one day. Philip says he is going to try to find a way to get this into the backyard so we can use it. We would have a bathroom and a full kitchen. Oh my God, it would be so wonderful. I hope he can find a way to do it. I walk back into the living room. All the furniture in here looks so old and dusty. The kitchen is pretty nice, though. I open the refrigerator and dream about actually being able to use this every day. Always to have food available? What a joy that would be! I finally settle back on the couch and fall asleep. When I wake, it is to the sound of the door opening. I get scared for a minute. What if it's not them? But it is, and I am so happy to see them. They have brought chili beans. Nancy heats them up on the stove and fixes me a bowl with a flour tortilla to go with it. Philip says that it is now safe to go back home, but not until it gets dark outside. They go into the back to take a nap, and I stay on the couch and wait. I'm in my mind, thinking about what my life used to be like. Reliving memories is one of the ways I keep my past alive inside. I don't want to forget my family back home. I fear that one day I won't remember what my mom looks like. Already, her image is fading from my mind. Soon night comes, and Phil is ready to go, but seems on edge again. He says he thinks it's best if we drive around some more before we go home. I just want to go home. What's going on that he thinks we can't? Again, he doesn't answer. I get back in the van and under the seat. After the first time, I know what to expect down here, but that doesn't make it any easier. After a while of driving, I start to feel really sick. I call out to them and tell them I feel like I'm going to throw up. Philip pulls over, and Nancy comes to the back with a plastic bag. They tell me to hold on a while longer. I try, but the movement of the car brings my lunch of beans right up. The bag is too small to contain all the beans. I'm at a very bad angle to be throwing up, and I don't have much room to maneuver. Throwing up does make me feel better, but now I have to lay in this awful, disgusting mess. Finally, Philip announces that we are home. Nancy comes to the back and takes the bag and cleans up the rest of the puke from the carpet. Then I come out with a sheepish grin on my face and say, "I'm really sorry." I am thinking, hey, it's not my fault. I don't see why we were driving in the first place. But of course, I say nothing of the sort. I wouldn't talk back to him like that. I'm glad we are home. I get cleaned up and change my clothes and go to bed in my own bed. Philip says that whatever was going on has passed and there's nothing to worry about for now. Reflection. I still don't know what to make of that day. I was just glad when it was over. I've always thought I am a go-with-the-flow kind of person. My mom says that my nickname was the Bull when I was little, but I don't remember that. She says I was real stubborn when it came to something I really wanted, that I would dig in my heels and be very persistent about whatever it was. I never thought of myself as stubborn, but looking back, I can see some instances where that would fit me. In the beginning, I asked a lot of questions about everything. I think I was always an inquisitive person. I learned when to back off with the questioning early on with Philip. Sometimes not asking questions made things easier. Philip's verbal abuse was very effective. Although I would have liked some direct answers to my questions, I learned to not question too much because the answer I got would be lengthy and in the end make me forget the question in the first place. The fact is, I do have many questions, such as, whose trailer were we using that night? What did he think he was hearing? What really happened to the person that lived there? I might never know the answer to these questions. Waiting for baby. I'm watching many baby shows to prepare myself to take care of a baby. Philip started watching a lot of childcare shows too. He especially likes the gentleman on TLC. I can't remember his name though. He has rented birthing videos from the library and watched them with me. It looks pretty scary, but he said he could do it and nothing would go wrong. Every day seems to melt into the next. I don't know what is going to happen. All the preparation seems to have melted away, and I have no recollection of the day-to-day activities I did to prepare for an infant's arrival. Philip moved me next door to what he calls next door. I have a bed and dresser and my own TV. This afternoon, as I was watching Dr. Quinn, Medicine Woman, it's one of my favorite shows to watch, I have been having sharp pains all day. But I didn't really think anything of it this morning. I have been in pain before. But this pain seemed different and started to get so severe by afternoon, I couldn't even move. Is this what it feels like to have a baby? I wish I wasn't alone. I am so scared. No one has come to check on me all day, and the door is still locked. So I have to wait until someone comes. Nancy finally comes in around 5 p.m. She sees me hunched over in pain. She goes to get Philip, and he asks me all kinds of questions like, how long do the contractions last, and that sort of thing, while Nancy goes to get all the stuff they need, like towels and hot water. Philip reminds me about the birthing videos and reassures me that he knows what to do. Nancy is a nurse's aide. I don't have anyone else. The contractions last into the night. I twist and turn and try to find a comfortable position, but nothing helps. It is late by the time my water finally breaks. At first, I thought I had peed myself. I tell Philip, and he thinks it won't be long now. When my water broke, I felt an instant of relief from the constant pressure I had been feeling for months as the baby grew inside me. The pressure returned after that when it was time for me to push. I have never been in so much pain in my life. Philip tells me I need to push now. It seems like it is taking forever, and the baby is still not coming. He feels inside and discovers the cord is around the baby's neck and is preventing the baby from coming out. He uses his finger to pull the cord away slightly, and the next push is successful. Nancy takes her and gets her cleaned up. I still had the placenta to push out. That seems to take forever, too. After that, they gave her to me to hold for the first time and cleaned up all the mess and changed my sheets. I am exhausted, and all I want to do is sleep. I nurse her for the first time, which feels very strange to me, and then we both went to sleep. My baby girl came into the world at 4:35 a.m., August 18, 1994. I am 14 years old and very, very scared. Reflection. Recounting that day, I can't believe that was me that went through all this. I can't imagine ever going through something like this again by myself. Obviously, I didn't have a choice with the second pregnancy either. How did I not just go insane with worry? How do you get through things you don't want to do? You just do. I did it because that was the only thing I could do. I would do it all again. The most precious thing in the world came out of it. My daughters. I'm not sure why Philip chose the name he did for my first daughter, which later, in his delusional thinking, began to symbolize the powerful spirit forces that controlled his mind. I have my own reason for not protesting the name she was given. To me, her name symbolizes everything good in the universe. It encompasses my old beliefs and helped me hold on to those beliefs even when I was hit the hardest with his angel theory. I don't think of myself as a religious person. Even with all the many hours Philip insisted we sit and listen to his interpretation of the Bible, I still don't really know if I believe in the Bible at all. When I was little, before I was taken away by Philip, One of my favorite things to collect were these figures called Precious Moments. They came in all sorts of shapes and sizes, and each one had a unique quote on a locket necklace. I received a guardian angel precious moment for my 9th birthday. I kept it in its stand atop my dresser.
'Taking care of baby.' It is 2 a.m. in the morning. A will not go to sleep. She is only quiet when I stand up and bounce her on my shoulder. Will she ever sleep through the night? My breasts hurt so much from her nursing. I've told Philip. He said he would talk to the pharmacist. Hopefully he can find something for me to use to make them feel better. I have a new rocking chair that Philip found at the Salvation Army. It is all one smooth line, with this peach fabric covering it. It's so ugly, but I am grateful to have it. A loves to be rocked. I rock her for hours and hours, singing, "You Are My Sunshine," just like my mom used to sing to me. Nancy got me a tape cassette player and some of my favorite Disney music. Philip also gave me some of his songs on tape that he made. I think I will put them on for A and see if that will get her to sleep. I like to keep her on a schedule as much as I can. She wakes up about 9 a.m. for feeding, and then we both go back to sleep until about noon for another feeding. Then we will play for a little bit. Games like Peekaboo and This Little Piggy. She is about 3 months now and growing every day. She has the biggest eyes I have ever seen. I wonder if she will ever grow into them. I like to give her a bath a little before bedtime to help her sleep. Philip put a microwave in the other room. I use it to heat up some water in an old wipes container. There is no sink in here, but Philip buys those big water containers, so I usually have plenty of water to bathe the baby and brush my teeth at night. I have a baby bath to put her in and clean towels and washcloths. Nancy and Philip get me whatever I need for the baby. I have toys and clothes and plenty of diapers and wipes. Sometimes the baby gets a diaper rash and I use Desitin to clear it up. She seems very healthy, though, and very inquisitive. Life's a lot nicer than it used to be since the baby came. Philip hasn't made me have sex with him since the baby came, and no runs either. When I was pregnant, he didn't make me have sex, but one time I had to take off my shirt and masturbate him. Philip and Nancy come in to visit a lot more, too. Sometimes they take A in the studio with them. That is where Philip and Nancy are sleeping. I think Nancy likes to pretend that A is her baby. I like the break from the baby because we are together 24/7. But I am also a little jealous. I want some attention too. I am so lonely. Sometimes I dream about my friends that I used to have, especially my very first friend, Jessie. We met in 1984, when I was 4 and she was 3. My mom and I had just moved into an apartment complex together. It was just me and her. Before then, I had lived with her at my grandma's house. I was so happy to be living with her in our own place, just the two of us. One day, I was playing outside in the courtyard, and another little girl came outside to play too. She had long, dark, brown hair and was very skinny. She came over to where I was inspecting the juniper bush for ladybugs, my favorite pastime. She came over and started to look too. I pulled a ladybug off the bush and showed it to her and then put it in her hand. It fell to the ground, and when she went to pick it up, she accidentally squished it. I started to cry, and she started to cry too. As our mom started to come over to see what was wrong, she very gently took another ladybug from the bush and offered it to me. I looked at it for a minute and then smiled and accepted her gift. After that, we were inseparable, and our moms became friends too. I miss her now more than ever. When we got older and I was sent to live with my aunt and uncle for the year, Jessie would always send me special things. Like one time, she sent me this bear that had a secret spot in the back where you could hide special things. I love that bear, and I love Jessie too, for not forgetting me. I wonder what her life is like now. I always thought we were the same, but different. She was thin, and I was pudgy. She was outgoing, and not shy, and I was shy and quiet. We both lived with our moms, no dads in our lives. I wonder if we would still be friends if I was home. I wish I could go home. I do not ask to go home anymore. Too painful to even think about. I just hope one day things will get better. I can't imagine staying here until I'm old and gray, but yet, I don't know what the future holds for me. All I have is Philip, and he always seems to know what to do. Where would I go with a baby? Who would want me? Sarge. It is 1996. A is a toddler now. Philip fixed up the room with the bars on it for us to live in pretty much permanently. I'm still not allowed to leave the room, but Philip has been slowly working on fencing in the backyard. He says it's so A and I could get some sun. I am really looking forward to that. Nancy brought a cocktail home from work today. It was mid-afternoon, and I thought she was coming in with dinner. I was surprised when she had a birdcage in her hand instead of dinner. She said a girl from work gave it to her because her son and daughter were not taking care of him. I could see she was right from the big blob of superglue the gray and yellow bird had on top of his beak and the bare spots on his chest where he had plucked out his feathers. This told me that he was not a happy fellow. Nancy said that it was her bird, but thought I might like to keep it in here for a while. I was grateful, thinking maybe I could teach it to talk, and then I'd have someone else to talk to. Nancy said the bird was really mean, and that I should not try to touch it. I thought to myself that all he needs is time to trust me, and maybe he will grow to like me. I had started forming a plan almost immediately in my head, but I didn't voice my thoughts out loud. I asked if he had a name, and Nancy said, "No, not yet." I told her maybe we could watch him and see if a name fit his behavior. As the days passed, I talked to my new roommate every day, and I put my hands by the cage, too. The frightened cockatiel would become very agitated each time he saw my hand was near, and always backed as far away as he could. When I put new food in his cage, he would always try to bite me. I let him most of the time because it didn't hurt too much, and I wanted him to know I wasn't afraid of him. On weekends, when Nancy was home, she would come and get him when it was warm outside and say he needed some fresh air and she was going to hang him up in the sunshine. I envied his time in the sun. Sometimes when she came in with dinner, I would remind her to bring him in. Usually after he was back inside, my efforts to befriend the silly little guy would continue. After a few weeks of constantly trying to get him used to my hand, I got brave one day, and I put my hand in the cage. When he tried to bite me, I gently pushed his beak away and said, "No, no." I did this every day, and slowly but surely, after a week, I was able to have my hand in the cage with no protesting. About this time, I was starting to call him Sergeant, or Sarge for short. He would pace back and forth in his cage, and it reminded me, for some reason, of an army sergeant. So that's what I called him. Sarge was a great singer. He especially liked music and would sing aloud whenever he heard a tune. I first noticed it as I was singing A to sleep and couldn't really hear myself for the noise of one sing-song bird. He would whistle and carry on to the radio, too. As the days went by, his feathers grew back and the glue on his nose peeled off. Sergeant became much happier and would even sit on my finger. I would take him out of his cage and he would march back and forth on the floor and make me and the baby laugh and laugh. I didn't really want to show Nancy what I had taught Sarge to do. I thought she might take him away or be jealous. Whenever Philip would come and I brought out Sarge, he would be amazed at the transformation from angry, mean bird to proud, marching, singing bird. He also thought that I shouldn't make too big of a deal about it to Nancy. He thought she might get upset that I had not listened when she said I couldn't touch the bird. I said to him, she just said I shouldn't touch him because he bites, not that I couldn't. I didn't want to cause trouble, and I really wanted Nancy to like me. I had come to love that proud little gray and yellow marching bird, and I hoped I could keep him as my own, but was too shy to ask Nancy and wished she wouldn't take him away. Summer came and went, and fall slipped in. Nancy wasn't taking Sergeant out as much because it was getting colder. But one day she came in and said she thought it was warmer than usual and would take him out for an hour or two and bring him back. I was watching TV and not really paying attention. Later that day, Nancy brought dinner in and left. I didn't get a chance to remind her of the bird. After I ate, I returned to watching TV and didn't think about Sergeant until I was getting ready for bed. I noticed no cage in the corner. I wondered if Nancy forgot. I had no way of contacting her next door. They always locked the iron door, so there was no way I could go get him. I kept getting up and looking out the window as I pulled the towel aside. Where were they? I didn't see any lights on in the studio. Did Philip say he was going on a run tonight with Nancy? I couldn't remember if he had told me anything. I watched TV to keep my mind from thinking the worst. I hope Sergeant was all right. I feared he'd freeze if left out for much longer. Finally, Nancy came in with him and he looked okay. Nancy felt bad that she forgot to bring him in earlier. She and Philip went to get some speed from a friend. Sarge looked to be okay and was whistling up a storm. She said she could hear him squawking all the way to the front yard. That's how she remembered that she had forgotten to bring him inside. After she left, I told Sarge how sorry I was that he was left out in the dark and gave him a sprig of millet for a peace offering. He didn't touch it and settled on his perch for sleep, so I covered his cage with a towel. A and I went to sleep too. The next morning, I knew something was wrong the minute I woke up. Every other morning, I woke up to the sounds of little feet on newspaper. Typing on the computer keys reminds me of his little feet on the bottom of his cage. But this morning, I heard nothing but silence. I sat on the side of the bed for a while, not wanting to know why I heard no noise from Sergeant. I finally worked up the courage to peek in the cage. I saw my beloved marching bird dead on the bottom of his cage. I don't know why, but I had to touch him one last time, so I put my hand in and touched him. He was cold. I cried a lot that day. The hardest part was waiting for Philip and Nancy to come in so I could tell them Sarge had died. When Philip finally came in, I started crying and told him Sarge got cold and died. He at first didn't think it was due to the cold, but didn't know what else it could have been either. I didn't see Nancy that day. Later, I learned she couldn't face me because she thought I blamed her. I do. Second baby. I am pregnant again. I was so afraid it would happen again. He's only been on a few runs these last few years. He hasn't been taking as many drugs, and he seems to have a steady job working at a nursery for a guy he calls Marvin. Marvin lets him take home lots of wood and stone steps, too. Philip still says that he is going to put up a tall fence so I can go outside and enjoy the sunshine. I think A enjoys going outside, too.